So if I may, let me introduce Mr. Partella, because Martin's story is really one about dealing with adversity. Martin had mercury poisoning, dental amalgams, and it was a cause of many, many problems, and neither medical professional doctors nor alternative practitioners could figure it out. They just couldn't figure out what was going on. And in his quest for help, Martin explored dozens of mainstream and alternative modalities and only found temporary success. But it was really only after he decided to apply the strategic thinking skills that he had learned in his management consulting practice to his medical problem that he was able to really turn the tide and began reversing his health problems. So now, Martin is CEO of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, an online course of natural solutions for your health and wellness. And he talks to people all over the world now, helping them discover the true cause of health or illness. So this evening, folks, Global Teleclass is proud to present Martin Partella.
Thank you. Thank you, David. This is Martin Partella speaking, and thank you, everybody, for joining us. Indeed, I think that it's almost incomprehensible that in this age of science, we are still operating from the wrong premise when it comes to human health. The concept of biological diversity or individuality has somehow escaped the attention of the mainstream medicine. And in fact, probably even the alternative medicine. There are some notions of it, like you may have already heard of eating for your blood type. Dr. DeAdamo, Peter DeAdamo, has introduced that not long ago and has a reasonable good grasp of things, but it has not really quite gotten it right. And it's very frustrating to find out that there are essentially two types of people with two types of reaction to certain types of food. And the foods can be grouped in two ways. One would be fats and proteins. The other one would be complex carbohydrates and fruits. So in one group, we would have essentially meat eaters, people who would thrive on a diet recommended by Robert Atkins. I hope you remember the famous Atkins diet, which was essentially all the meat and fat you can pound in. And some people were doing exceedingly well on it, losing weight, becoming healthy. The other group would have something like Dean Ornish, who has been advocating low-fat or no-fat, vegetarian, fruits, juicing, and the likes. And again, good number of people find a great deal of success with that diet, but surprisingly, a fairly high number of people do not. In fact, I believe that the split is about 60-40 in the population as we have it right now. So, I just want to tell you, you know, the advantage I have in talking about these topics is that I'm not a doctor. If I were a doctor, I'd be having to tell you what's already taught to me in the colleges and what my licensing body tells me to tell you. So, I actually started out as a business analyst. My original profession was systems analysis, computer programming, and business management. And that's where I was working in. I spent 25 years in that field. But at age 25, I ended up being poisoned by mercury in a dentist's office. That's the adversity that David mentioned a little earlier. And I was having to figure out how to heal myself. And this led, indeed, to me eventually giving up my business management career and becoming a full-time health coach. The approach that you hear me advocating is the approach of managing cellular terrain. I believe that it's not so much the genetics, but what you do with the genetics that will determine how well you do. The important part in the nutrition, how it relates to how you will do in your life, will be whether you will be matching the nutritional style to what your body type is. there are some systems that that teach this, or you can find the metabolic type consultants on the internet. They charge about $700 to help you determine your exact metabolic type, and they will classify it on 24 different types and help you get really fine detail exactly who you are, what you are, what you should be eating, and how you should be eating it. But I'm finding that that's just so complex that people don't stick with that program. It can be simplified. Essentially, you can be either overly acidic or overly alkaline, and you will be alkalized or acidified by either the fats and proteins or complex carbohydrates and fruits. So if you do the right thing, meaning if you're overly acidic, you need to alkalize, and you need to do it with the right group of food. So to simplify it completely, essentially, you need to either eat a diet predominant in fats and proteins or in complex carbohydrates and fruits. And just as an example, cold weather tends to acidify you. Hot weather tends to alkalize your blood. And so taking the fats and proteins is the right kind of diet for an Eskimo or people living in a cold climate. And eating a mainly fruitarian, vegetarian diet with perhaps some lighter fish is the correct approach for people living in a hot climate. And that's why it's going to be so much easier for someone to be a raw vegan living in Florida or California and a hunter-gatherer, primal food eater living somewhere in where the winter's cold, in the prairies. So it's important to match yourself to your genetic type, to your metabolic type, and to the climate where you eat, where you live. What are the major causes of illness overall? These will be in my book: toxicity, malnutrition, stagnation, and disruption. To break it down for you a bit, toxicity is something that is caused by ingestion of things that you shouldn't be ingesting. In our industrial society, we have an ample opportunity for becoming toxic. Just for example, the coal-burning power plants in the United States put out 50,000 tons of mercury every year into the air for us to ingest. Never mind all the machinery, equipment, tires, on the cars, commuting on the road, industrial garbage, you know, many ways to get toxic, from lead paint to nickel in your dental work, to mercury in your teeth, and so on. Detoxification is important. We certainly have done a lot of investigation in that, and we have a number of tools that help people detoxify. Malnutrition is something that's very common now in our affluent society. It's confusing because we have more available to us than we ever have, and yet we are experiencing a lot of digestive deficiencies. One of the biggest problems is that industrial practice started to rule the agriculture are producing foods that look correct. You know, broccoli looks like broccoli, carrot looks like a carrot, but it's actually minerally deficient. I have studies that show that a carrot 100 years ago had three times as much mineral content as a carrot today. And this goes right across the board. You can make a plant grow faster using artificial fertilizers or chemical fertilizers, but you cannot make it grow strong at that pace. And that's actually similar to what happens factory-raised chickens or eggs or beef that's feedlot-produced. It looks right, but it's not right. In fact, my own personal observation, for instance, a piece of chicken, I remember eating some chicken that's just free-range running where it's a dense, solid meat with a certain flavor and context and texture. and comparing it to something that that is sold in restaurants these days, which tastes watery, spongy, and devoid of flavor. The next thing that I see as a major cause of illness is stagnation. Stagnation of especially the lymphatic system. Meaning this, your blood system has a pump. It's your heart. It circulates the blood quite efficiently, moves it around, sends it around the body. But your lymphatic system is only moved when your body moves against gravity. When your arm moves up or down, or especially when you're walking, when the center of gravity moves up and down, rises a couple inches and falls a couple inches with every step. The channels that are moving your lymph, which is the fluids that are surrounding all of your cells, which are actually responsible for all the nutrients transport. Your lymphatic fluid transports the oxygen to the cells, the nutrients to the cells, and all the metabolites and toxins away from the cells. So if there's not enough movement, not enough exercise, this lymphatic system stagnates and behaves much like a swamp. Stinking, rotting, stagnant mess. And the last concept that I want to put forward is disruption, which has to do with stress, frenetic lifestyle, electromagnetic pollution, you know, the Wi-Fi ocean that we swim in, the wireless telephones, all of the other bits and pieces that that comprise our modern culture, or our modern technology that's giving us so much more power and so much more quality of life, and yet giving us so much disruption and giving us an opportunity to have the body function less than optimally. The reason I'm saying this is that all of this has to do with how your metabolism will interact within the terrain, within the, I don't know, call it an aquarium. I guess this would be a great metaphor to introduce. Think of an aquarium. Inside of the aquarium we have fish, and the fish are swimming in it, and they are breathing the oxygen that's dissolved in water through their gills, and they are taking the food that's suspended in the water. At the same time, the fish also leave their droppings in that same water, and all of the metabolites are going right back in. So if we don't have efficient filtration and circulation in that aquarium, it will not take very long before that whole terrain or system becomes polluted and poisoned, and the fish in the aquarium will not do so well, get sick or possibly die. And that's how I see that the human cells are swimming within the aquarium of the lymphatic system. So think of it in context. See that you have the cells taking up the nutrients, but also dropping off the toxins into the same terrain. So let me just tell you what the scientists have discovered as far as the taxonomy of the metabolic types. We have two main systems. One is called the oxidative system, and the other one is the autonomic system. The oxidative system is primarily driven by the Krebs cycle, which is the metabolic processing of glucose and oxygen. This terrain, or this system, requires presence of oxygen in order to work. The other one, the autonomic system, it's actually capable of producing energy using the glycogenic method, which can run without sufficient oxygen. In fact, you will have experienced it when you exercise at full intensity. Lactic acid will build up as a metabolite of this form of energy generation. In the former, in the oxidative system, the metabolite of oxygen burning is just carbon dioxide. So in the first one, the oxidative system, we ingest carbohydrates, sugars, and the likes, and we're able to break them apart in presence of oxygen and produce energy out of that. And we have two types. One of them is known as the slow oxidizer, and the other one is fast oxidizer. Slow oxidizers have a blood that's already alkaline, more alkaline than it should be, and they actually need to acidify the blood using fruits and carbohydrates so that it will bring its blood to balance. The fast oxidizers, people with really powerful digestion, typically the blood type O's, they have acid blood, and they use fats and proteins that alkalize it to balance. This can be further complicated by being also controlled by the autonomic system, which we have sympathetics and parasympathetics. People who have the sympathetic system in dominance, their blood is too acid, but they are being brought or alkalized to balance by fruits and carbs. The parasympathetics, their blood is alkaline, and fats and proteins will acidify in it to balance. I mean, I have such a wonderful example of that right in my family. My wife, she is needing to alkalize or correct her balance using fats and proteins. If she does not eat a high-protein meal at least once a day, she starts to decline. My body is quite the opposite. I would go into decline eating a diet that's too rich in fats and proteins. I actually need to be on complex carbohydrates and fruits. So for me, a great breakfast is a bowl of fruit salad. I can go exceedingly well on a day that starts with a grapefruit, progresses into an apple or a pear, a handful of plums or something like that, and I might end it up with an apple or a banana just before lunch. For my wife, this would be deadly. She needs to start her day with maybe an egg or bacon and eggs, you know, ham on toast or something that's very substantial. My lunch, typically, I do fine on a carbohydrate with a salad. So I just love something like a stir-fry with rice or steamed vegetables with a potato or roasted veggies, again, with a carbohydrate. And I can go 2-3 days before I have a protein meal, before I'm starting to feel like it's time for me to have some protein. So this is very significant, because of course in our family it took a long while to realize that we cannot sit down and have the same dinner, all of us, all the time. And this is what people have grown to expect. Everybody's expected to eat the same thing, you know, whether it's ground beef with some potatoes or, I don't know, I don't want to get into specifics, but the family dinner, as we know it, would work only if you are lucky enough that all the members of your family are of the same metabolic type. If they're not, you must find a way to accommodate that. Let me just describe what happens if you eat against your type. Here's what acidity creates: irritability, depression, buildup of mucus, auto-intoxication, that means becoming more toxic, anxious behavior, increased illness like a flu or arthritis or more illness, cellular degradation, body aches, immune challenges, and a general sense of separation and pain and depression, and I mentioned that, but just general malaise of not doing well mentally. When you bring your blood into balance, instead of irritability, you will have harmony and sense of oneness. Instead of depression, you will have happiness and well-being. You will have friendly bacteria thriving in your digestive system. Your organs and glands will be healthy. your body aches go away, your energy increases, your behavior goes towards relaxed, non-frantic, peaceful, the mucus will disappear, you know, the sinus congestion or the spitting up of things, coughing up of things, all of that goes away. And general sense of happiness, that's it. Being out of balance, you get muscle aches, dizziness, depression, irrational behavior, irritability, memory loss. You get cardiovascular damage, weight gain, obesity, diabetes. Here's an interesting sidebar. Depending on which metabolic type you are, you will be more likely to get a certain type of illness based on the typical North American diet. If you're one body type, you're more likely to get cancer, but not diabetes. If you're the other one, you're more likely on the incorrect diet to get diabetes or be obese. And this is like an 80-20 split. It's quite significant. And understanding it right will absolutely save you of very dramatic trouble. I would like to give you an example. Not long ago, I was consulting with a lady. She called up after she subscribed to a program that promoted diabetes-free in 30 days using our raw diet approach. You know, well-received, well-liked, well-researched program. She got on it, and after 3 days, she started feeling quite unwell, acidic, all these symptoms that I was listing just a little while ago. But she thought, oh, that's just detoxification. I'll persevere. This has to be right. She stayed with it for 10 days. After 10 days, she was sick, a breakout of lupus, a very serious chronic autoimmune disease, completely laid her flat. She just had to stop. She called me after about 15 days and was saying, oh my gosh, why couldn't you have called me after 3 days? I would have stopped you then. As soon as she switched, as soon as she went on to the diet that was sort of the Atkins type of diet, high proteins, high fats, hardly any carbohydrates, she started healing. She started getting better. And within a week, most of the trouble was out of the system. So this really works. We just need to understand that we can do the right thing and get to do the right thing. I think perhaps what I should do at this point is open it up for questions, because I think I would like to make sure that your specific questions get answered, how it relates to your own situation. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to unmute the call. If you could, if you have a lot of noise going on in your background, like if you have a television going or radio going, it would be good if you could press *6. That will mute your line, okay? So one moment. This should have unmuted everybody. So if any one of you wants to start up by asking a question, go right ahead.
How do we find out which blood type, alkaline or acidic, we have?
So your question is, how do I find out which type I am? Well, there is a way to find out whether you're an oxidizer, and that would be done by a sugar challenge. You can give yourself about 40 grams of dextrose with 5 grams of cream of tartar. And when you take that, if that causes you to start breathing faster and causes your urine to be more acidic and you lose your ability to hold your breath, that's clearly defined you as one of the oxidizers. That way, you can at least eliminate being the endocrine driven.
There is so much noise, we cannot hear you. Could you put the mute on again so we can hear you?
Okay, thank you so much for that. I will do it, and I will take the next question after, and I'll answer this one more time. How do I determine which type I am? It will be quite easy to know whether you are alkalizing or no, I shouldn't say alkalizing, whether you're correcting your blood pH with a certain type of food or not. If you start your day with a bowl of salad, fruit salad, or, you know, a large serving of watermelon or a bunch of orange juice followed up by an apple, that sort of just fruit, nothing else. If that makes you feel good, energized, empowered, ready to take on the world, optimistic about everything, it has just helped correct your blood to what it should be. If you have the opposite reaction, if you're feeling tired, depressed, miserable, unwell, wanting to go to sleep, type of reaction to that, that this has just taken your blood out of the good range. And you can do a confirmation of that by eating a meal that's quite rich in fat and protein, like steak and salad, or you know, a bunch of coconut fat with, I don't know what, vegetarian something, high protein meal, protein shake with a bunch of coconut in it, if you want to go vegetarian on that. If that makes you feel good, satisfied, balanced, that then you're the person that needs to eat more on the fat and protein side, as opposed to going out and making and drinking a couple of glasses of carrot juice or carrot and apple juice, or I don't know what other vegetarian thing I can think of that would be high carbohydrate. You know, just any sort of carbohydrate meal. One will make you feel better, the other one will make you feel worse. You find out which you are just by observing your own reactions, and do more of that which makes you feel good. And you do that with the understanding that you cannot be in both camps at the same time. So, okay, I unmuted it. Did that answer your question?
Yes, you did. Thank you.
Okay, anybody else?
If you eat protein, what type are you?
Repeat that.
You prefer protein, what type are you?
Okay, the way I understand the question is, if you require protein, what type are you? Well, you're the type that requires protein. You could be either the fast oxidizer on the oxidative scale, or you could be the parasympathetic that will do the opposite. You see, you can be either overly alkaline in the blood or overly acidic in the blood. And depending on which type you are, you will need to eat either protein to acidify it to the right range, or protein to alkalize it to the right range. So you don't need to really care about the label. What you need to care about is, how does that make you feel? In general, I would want to give you an example. Like, for instance, Eskimo, Native American, a lot of the South American native, you know, the closer you are to the original native population, the more likely your body is the hunter-gatherer type. And think of a hunter-gatherer type, that person lived in a cold climate, caught, I don't know what, bison, buffalo, elk, deer, ate only berries. There were no grain fields in those days. So the body is most likely adapted to eating that sort of diet, as opposed to somebody who's a farmer. You know, let's think of somebody from the Middle East, you know, somebody like Arabic or Jewish, Middle Eastern. These people are practically able to live on pomegranates and dates and figs, meaning that that diet can be fairly rich in fruits and carbohydrates without making that person sick. I've had a good number of wondering what to do. Why am I putting on so much weight? I'm eating like South Mississippi diets with lots of corn and carbohydrates, and I've put on weight, you know, gigantic amounts of fat. Well, so I say, well, imagine where your genetic ancestry is from. You're probably somewhere on the coast of equatorial Africa. Your ancestors lived on fish, on coconut and palm and seaweed, and perhaps, you know, tropical fruits that grow somewhere nearby. You need to eat a light diet, not the hamburger that you had started living on. That just leads to a horrendously bad result.